Perek Dalad, Mishnah Gimel. Ein Nevakin Eitzim, a person is prohibited from chopping wood on Yamtiv if he wants to use this wood as firewood. Lo min hakoros, not from beams that are laid out and designated for building purposes. Because if it's designated for building purposes, it's a muktzah. You can't build on Yamtiv. Technically, yes. If you set aside regular wood, you know, for firewood, you could use it on Yamtiv to heat up your grill and cook on Yamtiv. That's permitted. But if the wood is meant for building purposes, that wood you can't use on Yom Tov. It's muktzah. V'lo menekhara, shenishbra b'Yom Tov. Neither can you use a builder's beam, like we just mentioned, even if it broke on Yom Tov. Right? Even though that now it's technically, you know, designated as firewood, because no one's going to use it for building anymore. But since when it was Erev Yom Tov, what was its status? It was for building. Then we always look at the Erev Yom Tov status, and we consider it muktzah. The concept is Hail Vahuksa Kora Be'er Yamtiv Pinashmash Huksol Kal Yumakulo, which means once it was set aside during Benash Mashas, during the twilight zone, before that twilight area, Benash Mashos, right before Yamtiv comes in, right? As long as before Yamtiv comes in, it's in a certain state, it follows that state for the duration of Yamtiv. So if this beam was, you know, suitable for building, even if it broke on Yom Tov, and now technically you could use it for firewood, we consider it muktzah nonetheless, and you cannot use it on Yom Tov. But of course, if the beam broke before Yom Tov, and before Yom Tov was usable for firewood, then of course you could chop it up on Yom Tov, and it's not a problem. And even though you may say it's a big tircha, it's a lot of work, for the honor of Yom Tov, we permit it, and it's okay. All right. Vein nevakin, neither can you chop wood, right? Let's say the wood broke before Yom Tov, no longer is it designated for building material, and now you know it's a firewood. So we've got great wood. But how do you chop it up? So lo b'karzim, you can't use an axe, garzin, an axe. Lo b'magera, not a saw. Lo b'magla, not a sickle that you'd use for harvesting. You can't use any of these instruments, any of these utensils. Why? Because these are all clay uman. They're craftsmen's utensils. And it appears, Kabbalah says, it looks like you want to do actual work with it. So therefore, you can't use these types of, you know, utensils, these types of knives and axes on Yom Tov. Rather, what should you do? Ela b'kofetz. You should use a kofetz. A kofetz is a chopper. It's like a butcher's knife. Sakin gadola, a big knife they would use to cut meat and bones. And that's not considered a craftsman's kli for chopping wood. Okay? Some commentaries explain that you're doing a shinoi, you're doing something different, so it doesn't look like you're doing a weekday act, right? The Gemara explains that the kofetz, this knife has two sides. One side is very wide, and then one side is like wide like an axe. The other side is tzar v'chad, it's narrow and thin and sharp. So on Yom Tov, you only use the thin side, so that you're showing that you're doing something different than what you would do during the week, and you're not doing an actual, you know, actual work, an actual malacha, and therefore it would be permitted on Yom Tov. So what we see over here is that it's gotta be special wood designated for firewood, and you can't use a regular axe, you gotta use something different to show that it's for Yom Tov and not for the weekday. Buy us a house. Shumali peros that is filled with fruit, and the fruit is designated for eating. Not for, you know, just to sell for business, because that'd be a problem. Here, the fruit's designated for eating. Sussum. And the house is sealed up, it's closed with bricks and stones, but there's no cement on the bricks and stones. The nifchas. And then the bricks and stones that are sealing up the entrance, it becomes open. The stones, they fall off on their own. Throughout Yom Tov, they start falling down, they fall off. So notel, you can then enter into the home, because the stones already fell down on them on their own, and take the fruit over there and eat them. We mock them up chas from the entrance over there, because since the bricks and stones have no cement on them, so the ain is a bichas on element of the sofrim. It's only a rabbinic prohibition to remove those stones to get into the home, right? The rabbinic restriction would be that you're doing stira, you're destroying, and you can't destroy on Yom Tov. But since it's only rabbinic, and the stones, they fell down on their own, right? So once they fell down on their own, you didn't pull them down. So therefore, you know, you can just walk into the home and eat the fruit. It's not a problem. And we don't consider these fruit to be muktzah, that as if they were set aside for a different purpose. Rather, you can go inside and you can eat them. It's not a problem. Rav Meir says, Av poch is the chatchil of an hotel. You could even remove the stones and enter into the home initially, right? You could take the fruit and eat it on Yom Tov, because since there's no cement holding these bricks and stones together, Removing the stones, ain p'chisasan nikras stira. It's not considered stira. It's not considered destroying. And according to Reb Meir, it'd be permitted not just to wait for the stones to fall down on their own, but to remove them yourself. Walk outside and eat those fruit. And the fruit are ready for yamta. They're not mukta because they were there and they're ready to be eaten. And Reb Meir is of the opinion that you could even remove the stones yourself, enter into the home and eat those fruit on yamta if it wouldn't be a problem. All right. That's Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Dalet, ein poschen, a person is not permitted to be poschen as haner. What does that mean? So the potters in those days, they would make these candles out of cheres, out of earthenware. And what the yotri cheres, the potters would do is they would make like these balls of like an egg shape of pottery, right, of clay. And they would stick their fist into the clay in order to make a receiving point, to make a little shell in this bowl now, right, in order to receive, to put oil in it, and to put a wick into it, right, and that was the ma'aseh of the Ner, that's how they made their candles. They take this, you know, big bowl of clay, stick their fist into it, make a opening, and they pour the oil and the wick inside of it. So the Mishnah is coming to teach us that it's prohibited to take your fist and stick it into this clay to make this candle on Yom Tov, because you're making a utensil. With this, you know, action, you are making a utensil on Yom Tov, and that's prohibited. You can't build on Yom Tov. And further, you can't even make coals on Yom Tov, because if you want to take coals and leave it on the side, right? Manichim gecholam betzal, leave the stones on the side. In order they should be extinguished and turn into hot coals, right? The tzarfei zahav, the gold melters, would use it for their, you know, for their work. So even if you're just taking these coals, putting it to the side of your grill and you want it to cool down to become real red hot coals, that's prohibited. Because again, you're making a utensil. Even though it's just a coal, it's used in the, you know, in the gold melting factories to melt the gold. So you can't purposely designate, you know, these coals to become hot coals on Yom Tov. That would be prohibited, as if you're building, you're making a utensil. And finally, if you have a wick on Yom Tov, right, you cannot cut the wick in half, because then you'll be metaken, you're fixing it into a utensil. Until now you couldn't use it. Now that it's cut in half, I can stick it into a lamp and use it as a wick. That would be prohibited. But Rabbi Huda says that no, chotcha ba'or l'shtei neiros. He says the way around this, the Gemara explains, that you take this wick, and you take either end, and place it into two separate flasks of oil, okay? And then you light the wick smack in the middle, and let the flame, you know, separate these two wicks, and that would be okay. That's the loophole. And according to halacha, we're actually lenient like this, says the Mishnah over here. So granted, you can't cut a wick with a scissor to make it into two separate wicks with two separate flasks to use for candlelight. But if you take the wick and take each end and put it into two separate flasks of oil and then light the middle with a flame and then it separates on its own, and then you have two individual wicks for each flask of oil, that would be okay. And that wouldn't be considered that you're making a utensil on Yom Tov. And that wraps up Mishnah Dalet.